We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Championship is being played this week.
Tom, I'm standing here with the little sluggers and some of their parents, and I can't tell you how excited they are.
This is the Hot Corner.
Little Stan March is the pitcher for the South Park Little League team. Mr. March, you must be very proud of your son. They've worked really hard to get here, Chris, and, you know, I don't like to really trash talk, but I don't think Denver has a chance.
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
Oh, well, I'm sure some of the Denver kids' parents would disagree with you.
And oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! South Park is going down! There ain't no way some little mountain kids can beat Denver! Not with my son on second base!
On the Odyssey app.
Oh, looks like we got some parental trash talking going on here. Mr. Marsh, any comment?
Well, I think that there's a...
Mr. Marsh? Who wants to hear from a Mr. Marsh? I am the ultimate Little League trash talking father. I am the Bat Dad. Bat Dad knows no fear.
And 1080.
Bat Dad knows no pain. I want you, Marsh. I want you.
The Fan.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best.
Welcome into hour two of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcasts at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts. We've got the first ever winner Fan Golf Classic coming up on Tuesday.
Oh, you saw the read there, huh?
I did, but this is for a promo. This is not it. It's almost here. It's going to be on Tuesday in Tualatin with primetime Isaac and Souk from 3 to 7, and in Vancouver at X Golf, with Danny and Dusty. I will be at the Vancouver. Will, if you're free, you want to come down and hang out with me?
I think I'm going to sneak down there for a little bit.
Eat some free food?
Don't do it.
I've never been.
I've never been either.
Don't do it.
I want to get down to X. I've been meaning, X Golf has been something that I've scheduled probably about like 10 times. And every time something has come up, namely from this station where I've been called into work.
Will, Daytona 500, you got to be here, bud.
Hey, you know what? Look,
twice,
I
pilots.
I bleed Odyssey orange and blue, and I'm just here to help out.
Is it?
I am 1080 the Fan.
You can only wish you could be like that.
I'm excited. I'm gonna sneak down there for a little bit before I head up to the Berg.
Yeah, come to the Vancouver one. I'll be in the Vancouver one.
Right. I'm gonna do it before I head up to the Berg.
Patrick asked me if I was gonna show up to any of those, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I can golf because I'm pretty sure all the Tualatin times are like booked.
Yeah.
And so they're like, if I can't
just Winter Golf Classic.
If I can't swing the sticks, baby, I ain't coming up, showing up, all right? Trust me. That's the only reason why I show up to Langdon for the Summer Golf Classic is cuz I'm just banking. I bring my golf clubs and I am just banking on the fact that like, "Joe, this group or this sponsor, they need one more." And I'm like,
"Joe,
perfect.
Your mic's on." You're telling people your secret.
It's worked out two years in a row.
Nobody's listening anyway. All right, let's dive into this. We'll start previewing division by division as we get closer and closer to the season. As first pitch is, I believe, the end of the month, although we've got those Korea games. But I'm not going to count those,
first
even though
pitch,
they do count.
If you want to consider it, it's actually
tomorrow. Yes, yeah, spring training games go down tomorrow. The score app that I use that tells me the scores and what the schedule is. For all sports, I was flipping through the week looking at stuff on Thursday, and there was like 15 games. I was like, what the hell? Baseball? Oh, right. So we'll start in the National League Central. And Joe, you said you've spent some hard time on this division.
Lots of hard time. Got
yeah,
super
like what,
hard.
3 to 5? Did you steal a car?
Minutes? No, after doing my deep dive analysis of the National League Central, this very well could be the most competitive division in baseball.
Top to bottom is true. Brewers won it last year, followed by the Cubs, Reds, Pirates, and believe it or not, the Cardinals were in the basement of the division.
They finished dead last.
They finished last.
That's almost, I'm not even mad. I'm just impressed.
I'm just impressed. They had the same record as the Nationals. The only person bailing them out for worst team in baseball in the National League would be the Colorado Rockies.
The National League Central.
What is Colorado Rockies?
No, that is correct. National League Central projected to be the tightest race. Mm. This is on FanGraphs. Cardinals, 37.9% chance to win the division.
Wow. Almost 40% chance to win the division after finishing dead last.
Cubs, 20.2% chance to win
the division.
The
Cardinals have a better chance than the Cubs. Is that because they don't have Bellinger yet?
That could be. That could sway things.
I'd be interested in what it is if they get Bellinger back.
Or Chapman.
Ugh.
What, you don't think that could happen?
No, I was waiting for the Mariners to sign him to a bad contract.
19.2% chance for the Brewers to win it. And then the Reds have a 14.2% chance to win it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really fun stuff going on in this division. Like the Pirates have a youth movement. You know, Reynolds, they locked up. O'Neill Cruz had that bad injury, but he should be good to go this year.
Yep.
The Reds seem to be loaded from a ton of minor league talent. They got, you know, one of the top 10 flashiest players in Ellie De La Cruz. We'll see if he can take that big step. Yeah, this division is going to be tight. St. Louis ain't finishing last.
No.
That organization just doesn't do that. Not with bona fide Hall of Famers in Goldschmidt and Arenado that can still play.
I feel like this is a very hard division to predict. If I'm going to say a team's going to finish last, it's probably going to be either the Pirates or the Reds just because of the youth.
Yeah.
But, man, like, when I was going through all these rosters today, like, I'll believe it when I see it, but it's like the Pirates, I don't think the Pirates are trying to be terrible this year.
No, I actually think they're trying to make a move.
Their three starting pitchers of their starting five are Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, and Marco Gonzalez. That's not bad. And then they have one of the best closers in baseball, and David Bednar.
Like, exactly. I like Austin Hedges at catcher. I like Ke'Bryan Hayes. I love him at third base. Brian Reynolds is a bona fide starter in Major League Baseball. And O'Neill Cruz will be back.
Do you know they also got old man Aroldis Chapman?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they did. You're right. Do you know that their top utility player is a man named Connor Joe?
Great last name. David Bednar, their closing pitcher. But, they have him and then Aroldis Chapman.
They didn't deal at the deadline.
But the big thing is that I was reading today about their number one overall picks they've had over the last couple of years. Henry Davis is their catcher, who will probably be playing a lot this year. He was the 2021 number one overall pick. And then the 2023 first overall, Paul Skeens from LSU.
Livy Dunn.
This guy knows. I saw her today. It's up and it's good.
Oh, dude, I am wrong on the Austin Hedges, dude. Their catcher is Yasmani Grandal.
That's what I'm saying is that Henry Davis is their number one overall pick from 21, and he is likely to be taking over that spot at some point this year.
Here's your top four hitting in the line, projected lineup. O'Neill Cruz at the top, Reynolds at two, Hayes at three, and the old man McCutchen at four. That ain't bad.
Give or take McCutchen.
Of course, obviously. I'm not going to sit here and say.
But if those top three can stay healthy throughout this year, that's why I'm saying, like, the Pirates might not try to be terrible this year.
Mitch Keller, you named it. Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, Marco Gonzalez. That's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not great. Like, let's remember, Marco Gonzalez is a good pitcher. He is a solid innings eater guy. He gets you a ton of quality starts, but, yeah, he's going to give up three or four runs every game. And he's going to get blown up every once in a while. But he looked bad, and we made fun of him on the Mariners because that's the most loaded rotation in all of baseball. Of course, somebody's got to look bad.
Yeah, it's very true. But as far as, like, and then I look at the Reds, it's like, yeah, they lost Joey Votto, but, like, at that point, you're just kind of losing a locker room presence.
Yeah.
And you're just going very, very, very young at this point. Like, Ellie De La Cruz is obviously the star of this team, but... And I don't know who it is on the Vancouver Vortex line. He likes to remind us every so often that he fell off after his hot start.
For sure.
And he strikes out a lot. Like, he struck out a third of his at-bats last year. So if he gets more disciplined at the plate and becomes a more well-rounded batter, then he can just pick up where he left off at the beginning of last season. They also have Noelvi Marte, who was one of their rookies they called up last year and who, like, has the third or fourth best rookie of the year odds, depending on what book you look at him. But last year, in the 35 games that he played, Patrick, his slashing line was 316, 366, 456.
I'll take it.
Like, that is...
A 450 on base is... Or a 450... what is that? What's the third one?
Slugging. Yeah.
For a man in that position, I'll take it.
And then as far as their pitching goes, like when I was looking at it on Fangraphs, they're starting five. I was just like, all right, well, it's Hunter Green and.
Yeah.
But
I don't really know the Ashcraft kid all that well. I've got to look into that. But Frankie Montas was a nice signing by them.
Well, who they don't have on there who should be ready to go this year is Nick Lodolo. And
right.
If he can get back to rookie year form, because last year he got blown up and then they shut him down. If he can get back to how he was his first year, like, I remember he was like, okay, this kid might be good. Like, the Reds might have something along with Green. And then I was unfamiliar with Andrew Abbott and had to look up his numbers. And he started his rookie season great last year, and then he fell off a cliff. So it's they have young arms on their starting pitching staff that if they can sustain him over a full season, then the Reds – hopefully can sustain a successful season throughout the year, because they had a nice little run there when they called up Ellie De La Cruz and then it fell off a cliff.
Right.
So if they can keep their young arms throughout the year playing well and keep this young roster playing well, again, if you look at their starting lineup, it's a lot of young kids, but they performed really good. I mean, Spencer Steer.
Yeah, I was just about to say Spencer Steer, and then they signed Candelario, who should be good.
You.
Who should be good for them.
Stolen from the Cubs.
Don't they still have Jonathan India? I know it's like he's like a dirty word in Cincy, and everyone expects him to get moved, but isn't he still on the team?
He is. Yep. Yep. Matt McClain is one of their younger batters that played really well for them last year. So again, like, this team is super young but very talented, and I'm just in those. That's why I say that this division, and we'll get to the other three teams in the next segment, I'm assuming, is that that's why I think this division is going to be scrappy and really tough this entire year, because top to bottom, you have some good teams, but then, like, supposed to be the bottom feeders, the Reds and Pirates. It's like, they don't really want to be the bottom feeders. The manager for the Pirates is escaping my name. He's like, I'm kind of done with first overall picks. Like, this is the time for us to start, like, making
I'm done with taking guys that I probably will never see.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah. It's that he's kind of seeing this as, like, this is our time not to essentially strike, but to start having the division recognize that we are now making moves towards, like, it's kind of like an Orioles thing. Like,
yeah.
We got our first overall picks. We built up our farm system. It's time for us to start making moves on these guys.
Well, the Pirates and the Reds remind me of a team in the American League Central that I will have a lot to say about when we get to the American League Central. But yeah, let's get to the top heavy. I think it's wildly unpredictable to know what Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are going to do. But yeah, Joe, you're right. It's going to be a tough out every time you're playing a division game. Let's look at the top heavy. I know the Cardinals finished last, but that's a brand. And I'll give you my hot take on what I really love about this division. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Love baseball? So do these guys. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
We got Fair or Foul coming up in about 15 minutes, so make sure you stick around for that. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. A little shout-out will be on Dirt and Sprague again in the morning. So if you're up early, I was one of the first people in the building this morning. I'm going to be one of the last out, and I'll be back in. We got a clipping.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So stick around for that. We just kind of went through how kind of fun the bottom of this division is going to be. And Joe, like...
Potentially bottom.
Potentially. You nailed it right on the head. And I think if you're... You know, baseball fanatics like us, I mean, Pittsburgh Cincy games might be kind of must watch on a Tuesday or a Thursday.
There'll be a lot of young a fun young talent.
You
on
get
that,
a good
on
pitching matchup on that. You get like a Hunter Green versus Marco Gonzalez or something.
Just doing my preview, I was like, dude, I'm going to have to tune in to these NL Central games a little bit more.
But let's look at the dogs that have been there, the big boys. You know, I am not sold. You know, you kind of swayed me on this in the sense that I'm not sold that either one of these three teams, Milwaukee, Chicago, or St. Louis, are like bona fide to win the division.
No, I think it's a toss-up. You want to talk about trying to choose a team to win this division? Fangraphs has the Cardinals winning it.
That's so nuts.
Vegas odds makers have the Cardinals winning it.
For the sake of argument, I think we should have this discussion assuming the Cubs are going to re-sign Bellinger. All signs point to that. Chapman's a different story. Other things are a different story. I would be shocked if they don't get Cody Bellinger back.
I would, too. And the way that I was looking at this roster and lineup, it's like you have some great players, but you need the pop.
Right.
Like, you have, you know, Christopher Morel is nice. He finished the year very strong for them at the plate. But losing Calendario, that was some pop in your lineup. And so if you don't bring Bellinger back, I feel like that's two big players out of your lineup that you're missing that were giving you home runs and RBIs and extra base hits and slugging that you need. Because whether it's Nico Horner or Dansby or, Madrigal, I mean, like, it's all nice names in the field.
Sure.
But
sounds good on paper.
Yeah. Again, in the field, I feel like this is one of the best defensive teams in the league. They're going to probably bring up that the Crow Armstrong kid who is making waves because he dyed his hair blue. but he might end up.
What are you, Frankie Lindor?
He's going to get called up to probably play center field for them. And so it all sounds, like you said, sounds nice on paper and especially on the field, but it's going to have to be a smart team if you don't have Cody Bellinger. And that's what you get Craig Counsell for. That's you hedging your bets is that if we don't have Bellinger, at least we have a really good manager that can make us put ourselves in situations to win ball games where we don't have to rely on slugging, doubles, long ball, RBIs like that.
Assuming Cody Bellinger is re-signed, hot takes exposed, maybe. I got killed for it this morning. I love this team. I absolutely love the Chicago Cubs.
We loved the Cubs going into last
year. Yeah, and they kind of fell short, but kind of got hot. Like, that team was so close to making the playoffs, and they've upgraded. Look, Dansby Swanson can't be as bad as he was. And he wasn't bad, but Dansby Swanson is a better player than what he produced last year, right? Seiya Suzuki is getting better and better. He is becoming one of my top 10 favorite players to watch in baseball. I love the way he plays. He plays solid outfield all across the board. Guy's a five-tool player, okay? Also, Justin Steele almost won a Cy Young.
He did.
And
Marcus Stroman almost won a
Cy Young. He would have been my guy.
Even though Stroman won't be on the team, but...
But they spent the money on Shota, Imanaga?
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, Imanaga, I believe is how you say it. Like, they're bringing in a top Japanese
pitcher. That's where I feel like, I don't know if they've improved. It almost just feels like they've stayed stagnant enough.
Like,
where
Imanaga is like a Stroman.
It's a wash comp right there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you need Cody Bellinger. You got to have Cody Bellinger. If they don't, then this is hot take exposed.
Yeah.
But if this team got this close to making the playoffs last year, and they're saying Craig Counsell as a manager has a WAR of like 6.5 or something wild like that, you're not in the playoffs, bro. You won the division.
Yeah. And that's why it's like if you get Bellinger, they jump to the favorite.
And if they get Chapman, I would love Chapman. This might be the best team for Chapman because he doesn't have to be the guy.
Very true.
Because you'd have Swanson, you'd have Seiya Suzuki, you'd have Bellinger and Chapman. Like, Chapman's good days in Toronto were when Vladdy was crushing and Springer just got there. Like, once those guys kind of started to tail off, Chapman was so hot last year, and then come July, adios.
All I know is that this team is they're young, but they want to get after it.
I think so, too.
I think that they're going to be...
You don't fire David Ross if you're not going after it.
And I think that they're going to be a juggernaut at home. I think Wrigley is going to be popping every single game. It's already sold out every game. But I think that the excitement for this team is going to be palpable, that really it comes down to starting pitching in a sense, because, yeah, you're banking a lot on Shota, and then you need Hendricks to return to somewhat of a form.
Somewhat. You got to get something from Hendricks and Jameson Taillon.
Again, if you can get Taillon to just stay healthy.
Do the Jordan Montgomery. You're not a Yankee anymore, okay? So now be you and just pitch how good you are.
Yeah, so, I mean, Cubs are one of, like, we like the Cubs. We've been liking them for the last year and a half now, that I would love to see them finally push through, because I think it is a fun roster. And, yeah, you're right. If you're getting Craig Counsell and stealing him from a division rival like that and making him the highest-paid manager in baseball,
you better get results.
You're going for it.
You're going for it. Yeah. And let's slide it over to his former team in Milwaukee. Boy, I can't be more down on this team. I just can't. I think Adames gets traded. I think Yelich gets traded. I think there's a reason the Cubs were interested in Rhys Hoskins. The Mariners were interested in Rhys Hoskins. I think there's a reason nobody went for Rhys Hoskins. This team, I think, is going in the wrong direction. Corbin Burnes is gone. You know, they re-signed.
He sure is.
They re-signed Brandon Woodruff, but both players are kind of like,
did you see who they signed
today? Okay, I guess we'll be with you, huh?
I am Gary.
I am Gary. I can see it right here. I don't love how this team is built. I think they got some young guys that things will be okay, but I expect a lot of the big name guys, the big contract dudes, to get dealt.
Well,
Christian Yelich is going to play for a contender this year, and I don't think it's Milwaukee.
Well, and I don't think Devin Williams has a big contract, but if things are shaky and are getting ugly by July, you could see him getting dealt as well.
And they almost dealt him last year.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I don't know. There's just, for a team that I really liked last year, I think I'm kind of over it.
Well,
I feel like I've drank Kool-Aid that's not very good.
Well, and I know that I brought up Marte for the Reds, but another rookie in this division that he already, quote-unquote, got the bag, Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, talk about putting a lot of weight on a kid's shoulders already. He hasn't even played, and you're giving him an 8-year, $82 million contract.
FanGraphs has him starting in center, batting seventh.
And they got him at third, fourth rookie of the year odds and some Vegas bookmakers. So it's like, again, there's a lot, I'm not going to say a lot of pressure on this team, because I feel like there is this
third-ranked prospect in baseball.
I feel like there is this sense around the league where it's like, yeah, the Brewers have good players, but I don't know. They barely kind of got into the playoffs last year, and then they get swept right away. It's like, how much are we really confident in this team?
And they snagged
outside of Peralta and Wade Miley, who we'll see if, know. Like, the pitching rotation is in question also.
Very much so, and you don't have Counsell there to bail you out.
Nope.
Because I think Counsell bailed that out a lot by doing great bullpen magic. Joey Ortiz comes over from your Orioles in the Corbin Burnes
and
trade.
Their projected fifth starter is D.L. Hall.
Yeah, so those guys are going to play. But let's not forget the Corbin Burnes trade. The Corbin Burnes trade is a rental, and everyone, even us idiots who don't know anything, were like, Milwaukee got fleeced.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some nice prospects, man, but you didn't get any of the goods.
Well, again, that's why the D.L. Hall.
You didn't get any of the goods.
D.L. Hall is one
thing. Like, Jackson's playing shortstop next year.
I'll be keeping an eye on him for sure, because it's like, yeah, it's his first real year as a starter, and, you know, careers are long, but this is the first year that it's on you to actually put up some results for a major league team.
And we got to be a little quick about it, but with the Cardinals, I think this is the team with the most question marks. I think they're the most question marks, but also the most dependability, and I know that's weird and kind of, you know,
well, Goldie,
backwards. Goldie and Arenado,
they have to get back to form.
They're your guys. And Lars Nootbaar's getting better. You've got players.
And this was the first season that Arenado was not a Gold Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's insane.
Insane to
think
of.
He's like an 8-time platinum Gold Glover.
Yeah, it's so the one question I have beyond Sonny Gray, because that's a great acquisition for them.
Excellent.
And from what it sounds like, is he's starting to like already take command of that.
Be the dude.
Yeah, of that pitching and catchers, like, and pray to God that he can, because that will help Wilson Contreras, because it was a mess for him in his first year as catching for the Cardinals. But outside of Sonny Gray, you've got Miles Mikolas at 35.
Rough.
Kyle Gibson.
Ooh, super rough.
I can vouch for that. Inconsistent as hell and rough. Lance Lynn. And then Steven Matz, who's younger, but is just the injuries are tough, but he finished the year good for them.
All these guys are dudes that I draft in the 18th round of fantasy baseball, and I start them for 2 months because they look good, and then they get shelled.
Yeah.
And I'm done with them.
It's a lot of, like, names.
Right. You know these guys. Lance Lynn, he's been around, but have you seen Lance Lynn lately?
Yeah.
He's looking a little Sixto Sanchez. By the way, if you haven't seen Sixto Sanchez, you should look that up.
So,
dude's got a bowling ball in his gut.
You do get another year of Jordan Walker.
You do.
He's crushing some balls early on. I think that most, like, Fangraphs and Vegas and where you're placing your bets, I think they're just kind of banking on the fact they're like, there's no way they're this bad again. Right.
And you're the Cardinals. They just win. All right, real quick. Who are you taking in this division?
I'm going Cubs.
I think I'm going Cubs,
I think
too.
This is the year that they pulled through because they got damn close last year.
I think so, too. And what I love about the Cubs, too, is assuming they sign Bellinger, is the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves, whoever get them in the playoff, it ain't going to be fun.
No.
It's going to be hard.
I would love to see the Cubs because I just love how this team is built. Mm. It's young. Again, the defense is going to be very sound.
But it's got superstar vets.
And I when Wrigley is rocking, like,
it's a cool place.
It invigorates that team. And I think they're just going to be a tough out anytime a team steps into Wrigley.
Broke my heart in 2016. All right, when we come back, everybody's favorite, fair or foul. But first, there's my man Will with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, we do this every single Wednesday at 8:30. Schultzy is out. Was he in Boston at a wedding?
Yes.
He's at Harvard.
Did he slim down like Will Ortner's doing for his wedding he's got to go to? They got Dutch brothers in Boston.
I hope
they've
not.
Duncan,
hope,
dude, they're Dunkings.
I hope he's just slamming crab and lobster over there.
Dude, he's slamming McDanks and Dunkin' Donuts. You know,
soft shell. Dutch brothers. Okay.
Do they have Dutch brothers?
I don't think they
have
Dutch brothers.
32 ounce. Oh, he brought it with.
I think Dutch bros stops right around Nashville.
32 ounce, some soft shell crab.
Let's go.
That Delaware River runoff crab.
So we got Will Ortner sitting in, and without further ado, we turn it over to our favorite fill-in producer, Mr. William Ortner of Hawkinson.
Fair foul number one, Anthony Rendon. He said baseball is not a top priority for him. Fair or foul? This is the most epic display of quiet quitting of all time.
In sports or of all time?
Ever. You, like, this is counting Janice from HR, who just decided that she is not going to do any work unless she absolutely has to.
Sounds like my previous job.
I was going to say, very timely.
Very timely on this.
On this. I'm going to say fair, because I can't remember any instances outside of this in sports.
Manny Ramirez had some interesting ones.
No, he's fine. He's a Hall of Fame career. He just, you know, got popped a couple times. I'm with Joe.
I would say the closest is DeAndre Ayton when he got his max contract.
When it snowed in Portland, he was like, yo, dude, I'm not coming.
He's like, I'm not doing this.
I made it in here.
I believe it was before he got his second contract, but he said, I'm trying to get to my second contract, which is basically like, get me my payday, and then I'm done. So I'm going to say fair, because that was close, but it wasn't after he got paid.
I'm going to say fair, even though there's probably something out there better. I'm going to say fair to it, because Anthony Rendon, you have now catapulted to the top of, you're the biggest joke in the league. Like, you are trash, and you should go home. In fact, if I was the Angels, I would send him home. Artie Moreno's not that smart. He runs that team terribly. But if I ran that team and I know your contract is guaranteed and you can't play more than 30 games, dude, kick rocks. Just get out of here.
Bye. Get gone.
Just cut him. And if somebody else wants to sign him, cool. Good for them. They can waste their money.
Fair foul number two.
I just want to thank God. Shut up, dude. Go play baseball.
Fair enough. Fair foul number two. The Nike Fanatics MLB jerseys. They are universally hated. Well, because their pants are see-through.
Hot.
And Well, you know.
Hey, you can see through my pants. I don't care.
There you go. And, you know, the names, they're a little off. Verlander looks like a rainbow. Fair foul. These are the worst uniforms ever, and I'm including your Little League team.
Ooh, you know, I will say, I'll start this off. I'll say foul on this. I really hate the, I really hated the, like, T-shirt jerseys the NBA was doing for a while.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas.
I really hated those. Like, I don't want to wear a basketball jersey because although I tan well, I'm fat, so I don't take my top off. So it's, like, blistering white.
Yeah.
And I don't have muscles. So, like, the tank of the I'm a Scherzy guy. I am not a jersey guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Scherzy guy. In basketball, when they tried to do the shirts, I was like, this is going to be great, and it was terrible.
I'm going to say foul because Adidas for a while was making some absolutely horrendous college football jerseys.
The OSU sports bras.
And not so much like material-wise or, you know, like comfortability-wise. It was just the designs were god-awful.
Yeah.
And I believe that's now, like, there's only, like, three teams that's
not much. Under Armour had some bad ones, too. Russell had some bad ones.
So I'm going to say foul. Dude,
the Cougs, Russell Athletic, baby. Let's roll. I love to see.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is I don't think anything is going to get fixed anytime soon for the MLB.
I mean, Major League Baseball could protest and... Players Union could step up and say, yo, dude, this is unacceptable.
They already are, basically, but...
You got time.
You're too close to the season. I don't think anything's going to happen.
Fair foul number three, getting into some uncharted territory. Well, it does seem like expansion is going to be happening in the nearish future. I think Jeff Passan was saying sometime early 2030s. Right now, Portland doesn't seem to be one of the top landing spots. It seems like they want one team in the East, one team in the West, and Portland certainly doesn't seem to be that team. Fair or foul, Portland can get themselves back into being one of the top two cities by the time expansion is decided upon.
Well, you know, the benefit is, I was talking with Brandon Sprague about this morning, and it's kind of like the college football playoff and like, the landscape of college football. Like, guys, we know you're going to leave the NCAA, right? We know you're going to do your own thing, so just go do it now. I don't know why there's all this ticker tape parade and why you got to draw this stuff out. In Major League Baseball, look, we know you're going to add two teams. Get the stadiums built right now. Let's do it right now. Why are we waiting for 5 years? But what I will say, 5 years does open the door for Portland to get back on track. But to echo Jason Sukanik's thoughts on this at about, 5:30 today on primetime, this is the first time that I'm out. I'm a foul on this. I think we hosed ourselves. We were in the front, and we as a city have completely bundled this. Like, we have messed this up. Like, get your hands on the dump button. We have screwed this up so bad. Like, that's how I feel. Like, the city of Portland, the fans, like, everybody. It's just so much bitching and complaining with no solutions and just being mad about 217 traffic. Like, we sound like people that don't want baseball. And guess what? Nashville wants baseball. Charlotte wants baseball. Salt Lake City wants baseball. We don't look like that. And for the first
time... Billings, Montana probably wants it.
And for the first time, for a man that owns a Portland Diamond Project hat, a bumper sticker, T-shirts, that was all in, I love Portland Diamond Project, but I'm out. We missed it. And yeah. I think it's more on the city than the Diamond Project.
Yeah, I'm foul on this as well. When you got Jeff Passan writing a big-ass article about... expansion, and the only mention of Portland is at the very end about like this little blurb about, oh yeah, here's maybe some other cities that might be, but when they're using terms like leapfrogged and jumped over, Salt Lake has it's just,
and Salt Lake's now like, hey, we'll host the A's.
Hope you're happy.
Yeah, we got you.
Hope you're happy, Portland. We're just going to sit and stay as we are and just be, you know, like, oh, it's cool. And, we don't want anything nice.
And don't get it twisted. The NFL sees this. Not that I ever thought we had a chance at a team, but the NFL sees this. This is why we don't get all-star games. I mean, part of it is hotels and where the Moda Center is located, but geographically, there's a lot of factors that go into that. But even if Portland goes, hey, we haven't had one, like it's our turn, they're like, I don't know, man. Your viewership for the Blazers is down 50%. You can't figure out your TV deal.
Well,
you
also,
said no to the NHL.
You said no to the NHL. You were first in line for baseball, and now you're fifth in line. You know, you got a disaster ownership situation in the Timbers, which is one of the most fan-loved teams in the entire league.
Well, also the NBA.
We look bad from a sports standpoint. We look so bad.
The NBA and their media partners really take a dump on any market that isn't Los Angeles, New York, or Miami, essentially.
Right.
Like, yes, but when you look at some of the other sports towns, they live and breathe it. Like, the Lions have sucked forever, and fans go every single week, and they sell out. And I know it's football, and it's a little bit apples to oranges, right, when it comes to football to basketball, but there is a thing about Portland where it's not really a sports town. We like sports. We
right.
don't love sports.
Right.
Sports isn't a part of our life.
Timbers are the best example. Like, I have friends all the time that come to me. They're like, Patrick, like, you fill in shows. You've got your own show. Like, you are diehard Timbers. You watch EPL religiously, Champions League, etc. Why
don't
you
see Mo Salah by the other day by chance?
Yeah, of course I did.
He's
he didn't play
good.
Today though, but
he's looking. He didn't need to.
And people ask, you know, why aren't you talking more soccer? And it's like, look, the people that are diehard Timbers fans in this town, they're Timbers fans. They're not sports fans. Mm-hmm. They're going home, and on the way home, they're listening to NPR or 94.7. You know, the Timbers are their sports outlet. Mm-hmm. This town, we, as what we do here at 1080, and this is no shout to our listeners, our dedicated listeners, we, at times, I feel, are in the minority.
Yeah.
Because there's transplants everywhere in this town. So there's no, like, reason, you know? If you grew up a Clippers fan and they suck and they're still kind of, like, weird now, why would you be a Blazer fan? If you came from Kansas City, like, why would you be a Blazer fan?
Well, I also think the problem is where we're at geography-wise. Like, there's so much for us to do.
It's kind of the Miami argument.
There is nothing to do in Cleveland. There is nothing to do in Cincinnati. You have to care about sports. Otherwise, you realize that you live in a double Y.
Yeah. You want to die.
NBA Finals sucks. Game 5? Well, I'll be at South Beach. I'll get there by the second quarter.
It's winter. You can get to the mountain and you can snow or ski board. In the summer, you can get to the ocean. You want to get on the river? Whatever. We live in too nice of a spot.
I don't know. I'm sick of this city having a loser mentality that we don't think we deserve anything nice, and that, you know, I understand we have problems. Every major city has problems. But even, like, the idea of, like, hey, let's build a skate park at where a homeless camp used to be. No!
No, please don't do that.
What? That's preposterous. There's just going to be tents there in a week. It's like there were already tents there last year, and we took them out. Now we want a skate park, and that's not even good enough. It's like, how about a baseball team, a baseball stadium with jobs and apartments and condos, construction and all the... No! There's an ice rink at Lloyd Center.
Well, we'll see if we still got a job here and 5 years when all goes down.
One more thing about the Passan article is he referenced, like, the media market sizes of Nashville and Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they were, I believe, like 28th and 29th respectively.
Yep, we're bigger.
Portland is a
22nd, I believe.
22nd, 23rd.
Yeah.
It is above those two cities as far as media market goes.
Yeah.
So apparently we don't deserve it, though.
That is Fair or Foul. We do it every single week. Shout out to Will Ordner for sitting in. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. The Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. 1080 The Fan.
It's always baseball season. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joe will be out next week. When he comes back, we hope to have a special announcement for you, but we'll save that for then. Some details we're trying to work out.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know that thing we like text and call about all the time?
Dude, we got some few things cooking up.
I know one of them.
And then we'll do the National League East in 2 weeks when you get back, Joe. So that's, dude, have so much fun with the boy. Is this his first, like, concert?
Legit concert, yeah. He went to...
Like, you could see people playing music, but, like, here's my ticket. I got a seat.
Yeah, he went to Edgefield for the Lumineers, but he doesn't even like them.
Yeah, and you're just sitting in the lawn anyway.
So, yeah, and so, no, it's his first Moda Center concert.
Cool.
So,
Theater of the Clouds or full Moda?
I don't know. So what's the difference, honestly?
Theater of the Clouds is like Moda cut in a half.
Oh. So.
I prefer it. It's way better.
I don't know. Then I'm trying to wonder, like, I've never really took note of that. Like, really cut in half?
Yeah, basically.
Huh. I don't know. Well, either way, it's his first Moda concert. And it was one of those where it was like, as soon as the tickets were in hand for him and his mother, and it's like, I hope you guys have a great time, the FOMO kicked in. Because I remember my sister going to Fall Out Boy when I was in, like, sixth grade, and I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Well, how'd you squeeze the mom out?
No, she's going, too.
Oh.
Yeah. Like,
Joe.
No.
A little dinner? A little...
Absolutely not.
Couple bevies?
Not rekindling that flame at
just,
all.
Just, you know, look how happy our boy is.
Yeah, no. I think he will be in between us two. Is Paramore going to be there? No Paramore. Unfortunately not. That would be actually...
Taking Back good. Sunday?
No Taking Back Sunday. You're just going through a list of...
All-American Rejects?
No All-American Rejects.
American Hi-Fi?
It is Fall Out Boy with Jimmy Eat World opening.
That'll be dope.
We the Kings?
Does Jimmy Eat World open and just play the middle for 30 minutes?
No, they also have that one. If you're listening, whoa.
Oh, that's the best EA hockey song ever. I didn't realize that was them.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
I sound awesome, just like him, too.
With
huh?
Jerome Iginla. That was a great NHL EA.
Now
game.
You're jealous.
That I am.
Joke's on you.
I
now.
Am actually really jealous now, just for that song.
Just play the middle in that, and then
I don't
Jimmy
even know
World,
the name of that song.
You can. Neither do I. I had to look it up. Like literally last week when I was looking up, I was like, "Don't they sing that one song?" If you're listening,
intro to the first whoa. NHL game I ever had.
Oh yeah, nostalgia's gonna be hitting hard.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Edgefield. I love that. Last Edgefield show I saw, Abs and I went to the Trey Anastasio band. I know that shocks nobody out there.
I can only imagine what that is.
It was awesome. Abs and I sat way in the back.
Jam band?
On the lawn. Oh, yeah, dude. Trey is the lead guitar player for Phish.
Oh.
This is his side band where he plays the songs he wrote in Phish, but he has a horn section.
Oh, sweet.
Dude, it's awesome.
That is
sound. And we,
cool.
like, sat way back in the lawn. We kind of showed up late. Well, we got dinner there. We had dinner reservations, and then we ate dinner, and it was like gates opened at 6, but we didn't finish dinner until like 7:15 because we were just like, are you in a rush? I'm not in a rush. And then we strolled in, and we were like, oh, all the good seats are taken. You want to just sit right here? And I don't even think we like really watched the band. We just sat in the lawn and...
That's just what I assume you do for jam bands.
Sat right? in the lawn and divulged some recreational legal situations and had a
blast. Smoked a bunch of tobacco, huh?
No, dude. That stuff's the devil.
Trust Tree?
Always.
Trust Circle here? Never gone to a show at Edgefield.
Dude, it's great,
didn't
man.
Even know Edgefield had shows.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's great. They do it on the par 3 course.
I will have to go.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'd bring the clubs.
And it's like all GA.
Hey, can you move? I'm trying to put this on the green, please.
Four left.
Yeah, it should be a good time, though. Again, it will just be fun seeing my son enjoy music in that format.
That'll be rad.
Make sure he's spending $100 on a t-shirt.
Yeah, make sure he has fun. You know, let him be loose and tell him being at music. Being at live music is about letting go. All right, I'll be on Dirt and Sprague tomorrow, so check that out. I'll also be at the Fan Golf Classic on Tuesday in Vancouver, so we'll see you there. That's Joe Fisher. Shout out to Will Ortner for filling in. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.